Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast alongside my co-host Joe Stumpo. I'm Mike Caliendo. So we're going to reveal the answer to the trivia question that we asked you guys, but I have to touch on something and where I gaffed a little bit, and I have to, you know, laugh at it and correct it to an extent. So where I'm at is the question that I asked was the four managers that had managed the both Mets and the Yankees. The problem with that is there are five. And my mistake was I worded it incorrectly. How I wanted to word it was I just wanted you guys to name four out of the five. And I guess I got so excited with asking the question that we missed it. And about a day after, I'm sitting there listening to us again, and it hit me, and I went, uh-oh. And I brought it up to you, and we had a nice laugh about it. Now, the other side to that coin is my dad called me the other day, and he was like, you know, I just listened to the episode, and I could already tell in his voice that something was up, and I felt it. And he goes, so about that trivia question, and I said, I know what you're going to say. I caught it already. You know, so out of regards to Dad, shout out to Dad. He was actually the only person to get it right. He got four out of the five. So I give it to him, and he went to call me out on it. But listen, me being me, I caught my mistake. And I just wanted to put it out there to you guys that we want to hold the integrity to our show. And it's not going to be something we're going to ignore. Joe, so I don't maybe screw up the answers here, why don't you reveal them for everybody?
So we're going to, you know, as you said, for the integrity of the show, we're going to just release all five of the answers, even though we wanted four. We're just going to release all five just to make it easy for everybody. So obviously, first one goes without saying, everybody probably knows this. Casey Stengel managed both the Yankees and the Mets. Joe Torre, Buck Showalter. This next one is a tough one. Dallas Green, a lot of people aren't going to know that. And Yogi Berra. So those were the five Yankee managers that have managed both Yankees and the Mets in their careers. Like I said, Dallas Green is definitely a tough one. If you're not an 80s baby and was watching the Mets and the Yankees in the late 80s and early 90s, you wouldn't really know Dallas Green. It's not a really
not popular.
A big name, yeah, for, you know, younger people. So, those are the five managers that managed both teams.
Right. And guys, just to, you know, not leave you on edge, I will tell you this, that because I gaffed so bad, we're not going to be doing trivia. No, I'm totally kidding. We are absolutely doing another trivia question, but it's, again, we're holding it for the end of the episode, so it's something you guys could look forward to. But before we get there, listen, your Yankees look great. They're 3-0 to start the season. So, Joe, what do you think?
I would have expected 3-0. I mean, I thought the Brewers, their whole the reason for their success is their pitching. And they just got completely dominated from start to finish. I mean, I was at opening day. It was a 4-2 win. Definitely wasn't, an eye-popping game for the Yankees offensively. But Saturday and today were really, really crazy. Obviously, the 20 runs and the five errors, if you want to get into that as well. But 20 runs, whether there's five errors, 10 errors, no errors, that's just something that you have to talk about, which is absolutely insane. And then today, pretty decent performance from Stroman. I would have liked to see him go through five, but it didn't happen. And I feel like this is going to be a problem with Stroman moving forward. But like I said, it's opening day for him, and it was a decent start. It kept us in the game. But for Carlos Rodon, I thought the biggest thing for him was getting into the sixth inning. That's something that I wanted to see, you know, quick and early in the year. So he pitched 5 1/3. That was good. He had the 7 strikeouts and only 2 walks and 4 hits. With Rodon, what got me going that I liked to see from him was that he gave up a home run and a base hit and quickly was able to kind of adjust. And usually he goes into these those types of issues and he doesn't get out of them and he winds up having a meltdown out of an inning, but it didn't happen this time. So that was one thing that I liked. And like I said, the hitting, I don't know how you can't be happy with the hitting. Max Fried, I thought, did a good job, but could have been a little bit better. I think he was focusing too much on that sweeper pitch that he has and not going to the curveball more. The curveball was literally unhittable and the sweeper, he was hanging too much. Other than that, the bullpen was good. Devin Williams obviously was a little shaky on Thursday. Other than that, everybody was really good. The errors on Saturday, they have to be addressed. Obviously, I don't want to see anything more from Pablo Reyes. One and done for him. I don't want to see anything from him. He committed 3 errors. 2 of them were throwing. One of them was a little bit of a dunker up against his chest. And the Jazz Chisholm error, I could kind of deal with that one. It was a liner that was kind of tailing away from him and hit the bottom of his glove. It should have been caught 1,000%, yeah. But it's definitely an in-between play, and I could kind of live with that. But other than that, 3-0, I'll take off the bat. That's it's definitely something that I wasn't expecting, but I'll take it.
Well, listen, not to be corny here, so to speak, but to quote maybe Fast and the Furious, like Vin Diesel said, doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile, winning is winning.
That's it.
That's the end of the story.
At the end of the day, it's a win.
Listen, I'm glad you brought up the errors because, listen, aside from scoring 20 runs, you know, you guys unfortunately gave up 9 runs, and some had to do with those errors. So you obviously want to shore that up. It was a big emphasis for you guys going into the season with fixing the defense, and then game two, you 5 errors.
Right.
Granted, one person committed 3 of them, but he was supposed to be part of the problem solving in that aspect. Like you said, you don't want to see him anymore. I mean, I get it. I get that frustration.
If the last year, we have to nick those things in the butt quick.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And you know what? Listen, there's been times even in spring training, you brought up Jazz. Like, he's had a couple of questionable plays out there. You want to shore that up. Maybe, listen, if he's going to commit some of these, get them out of the way now. And listen, you'd rather commit them when you're up 6-0.
Yeah.
13-1. Like, however the score played out exactly. But... Listen, that is maybe troublesome, but in the same respect, Max Fried looked good. Rodon, I love what you brought up with him, that normally he'll give up a long ball and then like he'll start to unravel. You mentioned it to me off air that normally he'll just try to rush his way through,
yes,
and be frustrated, and that didn't seem to happen. He kind of took himself off the mound, composed himself, took a breath, and just went back into it. So I thought that was fantastic from him. And now that he's going to be leading your staff, that is exactly what you want to see from your top guy.
Yeah, and we need that because, with no Cole, obviously, and no Clark Schmidt, and no Luis Hill, we're going to need some type of veteran leadership. And he's got to be able to control his emotions. Listen, I know it's a very emotional game. You have one day to do it out of a 5-day, 7-day week. So when you go out there, you want to do your best. But he did exactly what he was supposed to do, and I was really thrilled. The Brewers are a good team. I don't think they're going to have more series like this at all. So I do think that they're going to be fighting for the division at some point during the year. So I did like his performance on Thursday. It was really... And to go back to Jazz did make a good play on Thursday, but he's got to be consistent. Yeah, I understand, like I said, that play was kind of like... It was a liner kind of tailing away, but we got to make those plays. I know it's the first 3 games of the season, and we could, like you said, get them out of the way now.
Yeah.
So, because we don't want that in July.
Yeah, and you know what? Look, some of their offense has not looked up to the potential that they've been. Christian Yelich really didn't look all that good. Game one, Jackson Chourio struck out 5
that
times.
That was unreal.
5 at-bats. But listen, at least for as far as the Brew Crew goes, maybe this is nowhere to go but up at this point. But I'm going to say you guys are going to be a little tested now because you got Arizona coming in on Tuesday. So a big 3-game series against them. You're obviously going to get Will Warren's season debut and Cookie. Even though he debuted the other day, but
yeah,
at least
too,
as a starter.
Wasn't too great. And I understand why they put him in. They wanted to get him a couple of reps, just before the weekend ended. But he didn't look too hot at all. He was leaving a lot of pitches up in the zone. So that's a little concerning for me.
And you know what? Listen, given with those two guys starting the series, at least that's what it's going to look like. Now, going into game 3 of that series, just for worst case scenario, let's say you guys lose the first 2 games of that series. You're going to want to see Carlos Rodon show up and be the stopper that you need him to be.
Yes, that's another thing.
And that's going to be huge.
Yeah, picking up the slack in the back end of the rotation. If they're not doing well to round out the front part of the rotation, he's going to have to be a guy that could stop the bleeding. Like you said, if there's a 2-3 game losing streak on the back end of the rotation and we go back to the top, he's going to be able to set us off again. So, yeah, that's a good point too.
Yeah, and you know what? Listen, this brings up another piece of baseball information, something that it's been a little eye-popping at least. We know this guy has the capability of it, but we want to see him maybe hit for a better average. Eugenio Suarez has looked MVP caliber.
Unbelievable.
Right,
and he was the one guy that we said he could hit 35 to 40 home runs, but he's going to hit 208.
Right.
I don't know about that now. If you're going to hit 4 home runs in the first 4 games, you're doing pretty well. And he's been mashing. He's literally been I know last night he had a 3-run homer, in the 9th. It fell a little short, but it looks like he can't miss right now.
No, he does look very good. He came up in a big spot. He hit 2 home runs on, what was it, Saturday?
Yes.
No, I think it was Friday, actually. He hit the 2 home runs on Friday, and then
Saturday night. Yeah.
He hit the one in the 9th inning.
Yes.
Listen, he's looked great. Today, really not so much. As of right now, where it stands, Suarez is actually 0-for-3 with a strikeout, so maybe he's coming back down
coming
to earth
down
a little bit. But listen, when this guy is on and he's, a little bit of a streaky guy,
yes, he is,
does
yeah.
this. So maybe that fire has been put out just in time for you guys to see him. So, I'm sure you guys would be happy about that. But listen, overall, at least from my perspective as a Met fan, outsider, obviously your offense, how do you ignore it? I mean, they scored 32 runs in two games.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was actually, it's 36 now. 36 runs in three games.
Three games. That's, the whole three-game series is insane.
I couldn't believe that. That's a 12-run average. That's something that you're not going to see.
And listen, you and I have joked, I've joked with you, that you know your offense is going to maybe be the problem on your team. At least this is before the injuries to the pitching staff. And they came and shut me right up with 36 runs.
They shut me up, too.
I don't think any of us expected. And not to mention, too, I don't know if we brought this up on our show, but you and I have definitely joked about this off-air with some of the decision-making with Aaron Boone. Austin Wells in the leadoff spot, Paul Goldschmidt in the leadoff spot.
And they both homered us, don't they?
And this guy looks like a genius. Now, on the other side of that coin, Goldschmidt has been known to light up the Brewers. It's just something he's done.
And I think that's why he started today, because it was a right-handed pitcher. Savali started today, and he was actually leading off, which was a little shocking to me. I thought they were going to go back to Wells, and they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you go with the hot hand. So right now, Aaron Boone looks like a genius. With having those two guys, first at bat for the both of them in the leadoff spot. Austin Wells is the first Yankee catcher in history to hit a leadoff home run to start a game. So that's, you know, that's a nice little piece of history. And again, Goldschmidt as well. I don't think he's ever hit leadoff in his career, at least in his major league.
First time.
You know, so listen, that's something we spoke about off air, and we didn't have to tell you that. Just again, we keep up with the integrity of us, and we laughed about it. We thought this guy is crazy, and look at what happened. He shut us right up. You know, so kudos to that. It's worked out at least to this point. But again, good, bad, ugly, however you want to look at it, it's still the first three games of the season. We have a long way to go. Very long way to go. But I'm going to move on. We're going to move on. Before we do that, guys, listen, Yankee fans out there, non-Yankee fans out there, whoever, listen, hit us up in our comments, like I tell you guys all the time, in our DMs, whatever works for you, on Instagram or Twitter with the corresponding post to the podcast itself. Diamond Discussions 25 is the handle on both of those. Light us up in the comment section what you think, what's your biggest takeaway so far with this three-game set with the Yankees. What's the good, the bad, or the ugly, however you guys want to look at it, or you guys want to strictly gloat the offense, which you have every right to. Moving on to another topic, we're going to go to the other team across town with the Mets. Listen, they lost two out of three to Houston, but I'm genuinely
And again, wasn't
shocked.
Their pitching.
No, it was
we
not
We expected
pitching.
The Yankees to not hit. Now
and
we
the
expect
Mets not
Mets
be able to
pitch,
really. I mean, with the rotation, I've been a little more optimistic, and that seems to be so right now. But again, it's early. It's only the first three games of the series, the season, the first series of the season.
Is Juan Soto still a Met? Did he get run out of town yet? No, right? Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure.
I think so. I think he's still on the team.
And then he homered, so he shut everybody up again.
Yeah, you know, and it was like you and I spoke about that too. After that night, the strikeout against Hader to end game one, it was like almost automatic. He's coming out the next day, and he's putting one in the seats.
Right.
And he did exactly
And that's
that.
A guy you strike out to, guys. You can strike out to Josh Hader. It's perfectly okay. He's a left-handed beast.
So Josh Hader is not a jobber.
Right. Yeah. No, he is not a jobber. No.
Of course not. I mean, in that win, also another piece of history, Josh Hader saved his 200th game of his career. So, you know, kudos to him. He had a brilliant career in Milwaukee, and now he's a little bit of a rough start in Houston last season, but he settled down towards the end. And as shaky as he did look in this series, so to speak, he got the job done. He got, you know, two saves out of it. And it is what it is. But listen, my biggest takeaway so far has been Mets pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of it, too, has been the lack of offense, so to speak. I mean, listen, here's the deal with the offense. Lindor is doing start of the season Lindor things. He's starting the season off 0 for 11 with a sac fly. Am I concerned about it? Not necessarily for the fact that this is what he does.
And this is baseball, guys. This is how baseball works. Look at our predictions 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Mets are going to give up 10 runs, but they're going to score 10 runs. Well, guess what? They did the complete opposite on both.
Right.
They didn't give up a lot of runs, and they didn't score a lot of runs. So look at what happened. The Yankees scored 32 runs in 2 days.
That's crazy.
36 overall in three. Did we all expect this? Absolutely not.
No.
It's a crazy game. But that's why we're here. We're here to just talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know what? Look, a lot of people look at the box score from game one with Clay Holmes, and I've gotten countless amount of texts and DMs and phone calls. Cardiac Clay. Well, if you're looking at just the box score, yeah, I guess you could say that. His line isn't crazy impressive. But if you actually watched the game or saw the highlights, whatever it is, it was a little more impressive for the fact of I've been begging for this. I wanted to see him battle tested. And that showed because he completely abandoned his changeup in the beginning of the game. I think he only threw it two or three times in the first inning. something felt off, at least with him, at least from my viewpoint, and he decided to abandon the pitch. You and I have gone back and forth about this. I know you feel that he should have kept with it. You know, I feel the opposite. I'm glad that he chose to abandon it and just stick to the moment. Here's the reality. Opening day start, I don't think he saw this coming. It was also on his 32nd birthday.
That's true, yeah.
So happy belated
happy
to
birthday, Clay.
Oh, also, Brandon Nimmo, the share of birthday. I thought that was
that's pretty cool.
Listen, opening day, going up against one of the best in the American League in Framber, who looked absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, he looked unbelievable.
His pitches were moving all over the strike zone. You know, this he's one of the best lefties in baseball for a reason. You know, if you guys haven't really witnessed him all that much, he is absolutely incredible. But listen, all that could have played into the moment. And I thought, honestly, given Clay Holmes's line, he pitched 4 2/3, gave up 5 hits, walked 4, struck out 4, but only gave up 2 earned runs in those 4 2/3. Again, he was battle tested, ran himself into a decent amount of trouble, and seemed to the most part get out of it. Now, one big thing was there was a throwing error from Acuna on a double play ball that would have ended the inning. That ended up being the result of the third run coming in for Houston.
Happens. It's going to happen. It is.
You know, you're going to have to deal with that.
It was a decent start. Clay definitely wasn't the reason why the Mets lost the game, and they weren't out of the game because of him.
No,
so when they took him out, yeah, it looked like it was a down start for him. But if you're reading the box score and you didn't watch the game, I think it was perfectly fine. I think the Mets actually ran into some situations where they could have scored some runs and didn't.
Yeah.
And could have completely changed the complexity of the game. But like I said, it's the first night. It's 100% fine. And it was the same thing with Max Fried. Max Fried looked like he was kind of having a good start and a bad start. It was like mixed. He gave up 2 earned runs, but he also gave up 6 runs.
Yeah.
Out of the six, it was only 2 that were earned. So, again, you're working through adversity. You're working through first starts. Everything is new. New role for Clay Holmes. New team for Clay Holmes. New team for Max Fried. I think it all worked out. Honestly, even though the Mets lost the game, I still think getting what they got out of Clay, it was pretty solid.
Yeah, and you know what? Even in Game 2, Tylor McGill looked great to me. His line was 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned, 7 strikeouts on 3 walks. I thought that was fantastic from him. And even Canning last night, 5 2/3, 4 hits, 2 earned, 4 strikeouts and 2 walks. Now, the thing about Canning is, you know, in the past, he's gotten lit up by Houston.
Right.
And he took this challenge, he took the bull by the horns, went in, said, you know what, I want this game. He made comments about it. And listen, he went out there and dealt. You know, honestly,
it was a pitching matchup that whole game for really the first half of the game.
And you and I were talking about this before the game even started. Like, you know, this game's going over.
I had it slated for an over.
Yeah, and completely, again, shut us right up
right,
because
yep.
it went completely south. My other big takeaways, at least from the Mets for the weekend, honestly, the bullpen was spectacular. Between everybody that pitched and pretty much the entire bullpen did, they pitched 9 in the third innings, struck out 9, and have not given up an earned run. The whole series, Mets pitching staff held Yordan Alvarez to, I think, 1 hit, which I've mentioned him before. That's a bad man.
That is
one of the baddest men on the planet as far as when it comes to hitting a baseball.
So even though you lost 2 out of 3, the fact that he only had 1 hit, you should take that as a win.
Yeah, I thought they held Houston. And listen, I know they lost Kyle Tucker, but their lineup is nothing to sneeze at. It's nothing to second guess. It's nothing to look past. They do have a formidable
lineup. And it looks like their pitching is still formidable, too.
Yeah, they got a young rotation, a couple of guys I'm pretty high on. I mean, Framber is Framber, and their Game 2 starter, Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown, yeah.
I think he's going to have an amazing season as their number 2. I really like him. And Arrigetti surprised me for them as well because he was more like a Griffin Canning type.
Yes.
Their records were very similar to last season. The ERAs were very close. So, again, this is why we had this game going over and went complete opposite way. But I was very impressed with the bullpen. The only thing necessarily that has, I guess, gotten under my skin with this Mets series in Houston, game 1, 8th inning, their reliever Abreu, their premier setup guy in the 8th inning, completely lost it. He walked 3 in a row. You know, Brandon Nimmo now comes up to the plate, and the first thing he does is swing at the first pitch. Granted, it was a hanging slider. I can understand the sentiment of going after that pitch, but you know that this guy does not have it. Houston was gifting you with the fact that they left him out there. And
he was wild, yeah.
And he was all over the place. And you come up there, bases loaded, 2 outs, down 3, and you're swinging at the first pitch. Joe, I don't know about you and some of the teams you've played for in your life, softball or hardball, however it's been, but if that's you or me, you know you're getting chewed out when you walk back.
Oh, 100%. Softball, they tell you go sit in your car. And right. Hardball, your coach is benching you for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is baseball 101 here. I thought this was something that was like an unwritten rule. If the guy's wild and you step up to the plate and it's a 3-0 count, you better put that ball in the seats.
Yeah.
Very far. Exactly. If you're going to swing it 3-0, you better hang it and bang it, right? Yeah. But listen, it is what it is. It's a guy trying to make a play. He's just trying to make a play.
And listen, I get it. Nimmo is a gamer, but the thing is, where I really think this lineup could thrive outside of the top four is him. Because either if he's in the cleanup spot or the
his pitch taking ability.
Yeah.
He's supposed to get those 7-8 pitch at bats.
Brandon Nimmo needs to do Brandon Nimmo things. Yes. And swinging at the first pitch when a guy has been wild and walked 3 in a row is not Brandon Nimmo. I'm sorry, it's just not. He needs to go back to how he used to be.
Do you feel like he's trying to fit in with all this power now at the top of the lineup?
No, because he's been doing this. It's been about a year or so.
Yeah, but now you got these big boppers in it. It's not just him anymore. It's not just him and Alonso anymore.
Lindor. I don't need him to hit 25.
I know, but do you think that he's feeling it? Like, if I don't perform.
He could be, but
Brandon, that's not his job. He shouldn't be focusing on that.
Right, absolutely. And you know what? He's made great strides throughout his career to improve every year. And listen, even though maybe his average dipped down a bit, his power numbers improved. So there's been improvement, but now it's addition along with subtraction. Right,
and that's usually what happens when you try to add power.
Your right, average with is me, suffer. Listen, I don't want to say completely abandon the power. He's going to get a hold of what he gets a hold of. He'll give you 15 home runs a season, but I'd rather him hit 275, 280, and give me 15
homers. Right, exactly.
Opposed to hitting 220 like he did. Now, he dealt with some injuries last year, fine. But I'd rather him do that than 25 and hitting 220. Brandon Nimmo is an on-base machine, and he needs to go back to doing that.
I agree.
And that's where I think they're going to honestly thrive. But really, all in all, that was really my biggest what's going on. Like, what are you doing? My only frustration, and listen, it's very early, but I have to bring it up, and this is why I has said what I said leading out of spring training with the Mets, Brett Baty. He's gone 0-for so far, has not looked like what he was in spring, and this is why I was not buying into what he did in spring. Now, again, it's early. He obviously has plenty of time to turn this around, but
I get the frustration. It's almost like a Dominguez-type situation right now.
Yeah.
Dominguez has looked awful at the plate in 3 games.
Yeah.
Yesterday was his best day. He walked a couple times. And he has a very good eye, Dominguez, I'll say that. But when it comes to Baty and Dominguez, these are two guys that I think are going to be under a very, very, very big microscope, and they're going to get analyzed deeply compared to everybody else. Like I said, Baty was slated to be a starting third baseman at one point. Yeah. And then Mark Vientos comes out of nowhere and says, hold my beer. I'm not going anywhere. And then what does that mean for Baty? Oh, let's move Baty to second. Oh, but wait, you got Luis Angel Acuña waiting in the wings, who's a better player than Baty. That's what I'm going to say right off the jump. I think he's a better player than Baty.
And now that
leaves the Mets in a little bit of a situation. Like, hey, are we going to be able to trade you? But if you're not playing well, what's your trade value going to be like? Right. It's a little bit of a tough situation. And I understand the frustration 1,000%.
Well, you know what? Even Acuña, too, aside from the at-bat with Hader in the ninth inning of game one, everything so far looks like, to me, he's pressing a little bit and he's trying to... Maybe what Nimmo did, he's trying to create a moment, not let it come to him.
Acuña, you saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, he swung out of his shoes on Friday night. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, and he did it again last night. You know, he's looking to kill the ball. And listen, just relax. Maybe him and Baty are feeling the pressure of, if I play well, I'm going to get the job over him.
Right.
And the other aspect to that is both Jeff McNeil coming back healthy. Who's the odd man out in that situation? So I can understand the pressing, but these guys need to just relax, calm down. And that was the difference, especially the Hader at-bat in game one. He was swinging out of his shoes the first two pitches of the at-bat and then completely changed up. It looked like he just calmed down and then gave him probably the most battle-tested at-bat of the night, you know, fighting off and seeing 12 or 13 pitches. I mean, that's what you want to see. And then he kind of went back to it again where he's just, I feel like he's trying to create a moment. Let it come to you.
Let it come to you, yeah.
And he's going to find that. He's still a young kid, you know. So, again, maybe it's the pressure of these two maybe trying to say, no, I deserve the starting role. And that could be a part of it. But these guys have got to take a step back. They had the off day today. You know, they're obviously going to get back tomorrow. They're going to play Miami. So, we'll see how that all plays out. But overall, even though they're 1-2, lost the first series of the season, to, listen, it's the Houston Astros, despite what you guys want to say
about right, them. No, it's, listen, and even though I didn't pick them to win the division, they're going to be a phenomenal team. They're going to be right there.
Yeah, so, of course. They're going to be in the mix. They're
a playoff. If you lose 2 out of 3 to a team, that's the team you lose 2 out of 3 to.
And they didn't look bad doing it. It wasn't like it was an embarrassment right. Outside of, listen, they only got one hit yesterday.
It wasn't a Milwaukee Brewer weekend. It was a...
Exactly, exactly.
You could take this as like a, hey, we held our own.
Right, and you know what? Honestly, I'd be in serious, maybe in serious panic mode if... The Mets pitching staff did what the Brewers
right, yes. Did. Then you'd be like, oh my gosh, this is what I have to look forward to for the rest of the year. I totally would get that too.
Yeah, but hey, guys, listen, out there, I can't keep pushing this on you enough as I do. Light us up in the comment sections, the DMs in, on Twitter, on Instagram, Diamond Discussions 25, even the corresponding post connected to this actual episode. What are you, Mets fans, what are your thoughts on how they've looked so far? To start the season, even though it's 1-2, you know, are you guys optimistic? Do you think the lineup is going to come around? Do you think maybe we're going to light up Miami? Who knows? But we want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts on it. So, you know, listen, guys, in the comment sections, DMs, however you feel comfortable. And listen, some of you have been texting us, calling us, all that. So whatever it is, we love the feedback and we do appreciate it. But maybe some stuff going on around the league, maybe another eye-popping situation. Listen, Lindor, like I mentioned, is 0-for-11. But another guy, Rafi Devers out in Boston. What's going on?
Do I say it's the DH transition? I really don't know. I've never seen Rafi Devers struggle this bad. And as a Yankee fan, every time this guy gets up to the plate, I'm like, ah, this guy again? I thought maybe we'd skip an inning. But listen, I don't think this is something that's going to last. You know what I mean? I don't think it's something that's going to be talked about much more. If this is something that does lead up into the next series, that's going to be a little concerning. I know Texas, they have good starting pitching. Their bullpen is what's a little iffy. He didn't look good against anything. He didn't look good against the pen. He didn't look good against starting pitching. I will say this, though. I did watch some of the at-bats. Someone had clipped it. All of his at-bats throughout the weekend, except for today. I didn't see any of today's. He was swinging at very good pitches.
Okay.
He wasn't over-swinging, in my opinion, and he wasn't chasing, and he wasn't swinging at balls. He was swinging at good pitches. He was just missing them. I don't know if that maybe – I don't see if his head was coming off the ball and maybe his eyes were coming off the ball a little too quick and he was missing in that regard. Mm-hmm. I think Rafi Devers is a professional hitter.
Yeah.
And he's going to figure this out.
Absolutely. I think he's one of the best in the league.
I think people in Boston need to do the same thing that we do, and that's just relax.
Yeah.
Like I said, if this goes into the next 2 or 3 series and he's 1-for-30, then I'd say, oh my God, what the hell's going on? I think he's perfectly fine. I think it's just a big coincidence and an eye-opener, obviously, that he's, is it 0-for-13? 0-for-16 with 13 strikeouts?
13 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's just like, it's like someone blindfolding him at the plate, basically, yeah. At this point. I think it's going to go away, though. I don't think this is something that we're going to be talking about in a week or two.
Could it be the frustration that he wants to play the field so bad that maybe he brought out his glove for one of those at-bats? I don't know. I mean,
I agree with you 100%. I do think him not in the field for the first week is something different for him.
Yeah.
But he's got to make that transition. He's a major league ball player. He's got to figure it out. But like I said, not going out into the field sometimes does mess with you mentally, but I think he's going to get over it.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's just, it's alarming.
He'll get over when the Yankees come to town, or when he comes to the Bronx. That's when he'll get over it.
That'll be. that'll definitely be.
But there's no Garrett Cole, so he can't bully us anymore.
That's also Garrett true, because he has phenomenal numbers against Cole. He pretty much owns him.
But like I said, I think Red Sox fans, yeah, it sucks that he went through this weekend, and they dropped a couple of games against Texas. I think they dropped 3 out of 4, actually. But I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, and, you know, like we mentioned, too, on the other side, maybe a positive note, has been Eugenio Suarez. You know, we already mentioned him. He's got, you know, 4 home runs to start the season and looks like he's playing out of his mind. Today, he seems to maybe iced off a little bit. But another thing, another little surprise factor, Miami has walked off 3 days in a row.
Unbelievable. They took 3 out of 4 from Pittsburgh, and their bullpen is garbage.
Yeah.
Their bullpen is absolutely atrocious. If they want to keep Paul Skeens, go fix that bullpen. Yeah. Go fix that bullpen. Yeah, you can't waste this kid, man.
No,
you can't. And the rest of that staff is actually a really good pitching staff over there in Pittsburgh, and they're just letting them just 5-6 innings, 1 or 2 earned runs, and then all of a sudden the game gets thrown away by the bullpen. They got to fix that over there because Miami is not a good team.
No. And you know what the other unfortunate thing with Pittsburgh is? Jared Jones starting the season on the shelf.
Right.
That doesn't help.
No.
Obviously, he's your number two. And,
but David Bednar 3 years ago was one of the top relievers in the league. I know
and he's
I know when the Yankees were looking for closers – Bednar was on their radar, yes. And they didn't get him for whatever reason. But he was really good, and yeah. He's looked completely a 180 the last year and a half.
Yeah, he has not looked good. He's helped me out because I'm going against him in fantasy. So he's helped me out.
Yeah, last year he was very iffy, and this year to start it hasn't been great for that bullpen.
Yeah, you know what? Look, kudos to Miami. They're riding high. Hopefully not too high because we got to see them next. So
they're always thorns on the Mets side. I don't understand. I don't get it.
No matter what team they put out on the field, they seem to always be a problem for us. Listen, we can go back to 08 and 09.
But this could be a good bounce back week.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Mets are going to be fine. Obviously, I think the Mets are going to be fine. And you know what? If there's a team you want to play after leaving Houston,
it's Miami.
Definitely Miami. Yeah. Or Pittsburgh. Looks hot right now. You know what I mean? They took 3 out of 4.
I'm not going to take it away from them. But they did what they had to do because, like I said, Pittsburgh's pen is atrocious, and they took advantage of it, and rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Listen, an inch or a mile, winning is winning.
That's like, it. Yeah, exactly. Know,
it really is. Winning is winning. That's it at the end of the day. Honestly, going on to probably the funniest moment of the weekend, for me at least, was on Friday night. Seth Brown of the Athletics.
Oh.
So if you guys don't know, there's been a rule change in baseball, at least just for that at bat. Now it's 5 balls and then you walk. So Seth Brown.
Nobody noticed this.
Nobody noticed it. The announcers, nobody caught it. In an at bat Friday night against the Seattle reliever, he walked on 5 balls. Not 5 pitches, 5 balls.
He threw 5 balls, literally. Yeah,
3-2 count, then it went to a 4-2 count, and then a 5-2 count, and he took his base. So I don't know. Maybe he was that. He wanted to get a hold of one. I don't know. Maybe just nobody.
The announcers went with it. The ump went with it. Both teams had no idea it was actually like.
Yeah. So I thought that was a pretty funny moment for the week. Also, another thing that I got to bring up because something we were frustrated with it last night. Maybe we had a parlay on it. But we obviously saw, you and I did, the frustrating end to that Arizona-Chicago game.
Oh, my goodness gracious, man. And then the 3-run homer happens, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm right there. And then that play happened. Dansby Swanson, I got to say, that's a hell of a heads-up play by Dansby Swanson.
That's why he's one of the best in the league.
That is a hell of a heads-up play. I'm not going to take anything away from him, but that's a crappy way to end a baseball game.
Yeah.
And especially when you got a couple of shekels on the team that happens too.
Yeah, so, of course.
I'm not going to take anything away from Swanson. That's a hell of a play by him.
Yeah, so it was a ground ball to Swanson that he was not going to get the guy at first. It was 2-on, 2-out. It was Corbin Carroll.
Yes, Carroll.
He could fly down the line. The way the ball was hit, Swanson had no chance to get him. The pinch runner that had come in to run, rounding third base, maybe rounded a little too far out. Swanson caught it immediately, beelined at him, and he just didn't know what to do. Yeah. That's a horrible way to end the game.
Terrible. After hitting a 3-run homer, and then you get 2 guys on to potentially tie it and win it, and that's how you lose the game.
Yeah. No, I think it was a 2-run shot, and it was Suarez.
Yeah.
It was
a
2-run shot by Suarez, I mean, you wish you had him up maybe in a bat later, but unreal in that situation. Probably the worst ending to a game I've seen so far. Outside of, I think the Marlins walk-off today was ended on a wild pitch. So, I mean, just listen, a couple of fun moments. Like I said, the Seth Brown walking on 5 balls in the at-bat and the unfortunate ending to that Arizona game last night. Listen, I'm not going to take anything away. Listen, Chicago is bringing it to Arizona after the way they look in the Japan series. They've definitely responded. You know, their bullpen was obviously in question, especially in that series. But
they took 2 out of 3 from a very good Arizona team. So kudos to the Cubs for that.
Yeah, and listen, outside of that also, I guess baseball news, the Dodgers are undefeated.
But I will say this, Sasaki looks like he's feeling the nerves a little bit.
You seen the emotions after he got taken out of that game?
He was hysterical.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether to feel bad or I thought maybe something happened. I didn't know what was going on, but he's definitely got some control issues in the first couple of starts, and I think that's perfectly normal. It's all normal stuff. He's not getting rocked.
No.
He's just a little erratic, and that's something that's, again, easy fix. And the Dodgers have enough pitching there to where they could lose 15 starters, and I think they'll still win 100 games. But Sasaki's going to be fine. I think that's going to be pitching coaches going to just fix that for him.
Yeah, and you know what? I think maybe he's pressing a little bit. Yeah. And now we're seeing or maybe understanding maybe some of the issues coming over here, some of the reports that were put out there, his having issues with the media. he's maybe reading too much.
I think so.
You know, and he's feeling it.
It's a lot of pressure. American media, it's a lot of pressure.
It's no joke. And listen, L.A., listen.
He could play them at the Japanese media. You haven't met the dogs of the American media yet, so.
Yeah. Wait till he comes to New York soon. And has a series out here.
I know.
They might skip a start in that aspect.
That's true, because if you have a bad start against the Mets or the Yankees, it's going to be talked about for a week.
Yeah, exactly. They're not. And listen, beating up on Dodger pitching seems to not really be the thing.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, but listen, the Dodgers have looked pretty solid. You know, a couple of games, listen, Detroit fought them off pretty well. You know, a couple of things here and there. I mean, Betts hit a walk-off three-run homer the other night. And shout out to him with all the
field stuff that he's going on with him. Yeah,
despite us not really being fans of the Dodgers at this point in time,
I don't wish ill health on anyone.
No, of course,
and no one knew what was going on with him. He lost like 30 pounds, and no one knew what was happening. So right. I'm glad that he came back and did what he did.
That's awesome. That's always refreshing for a baseball fan to know what a guy's dealing with off the field, comes in and playing well and showing that it's. Not affecting his mental, and he's doing Mookie Betts things, and this is why he's one of the best in the game. So, you know, shout out to him and everything that he's overcome so far, and I know things are starting to look up for him health-wise. He's starting to gain the weight back. I think he's starting to be able to take down food now.
Right.
So, I mean, listen, that's all positive things. Nothing that you want to see outside of anybody.
And I think for Sasaki, he's got stuff, just to go back to him before we finish on the Dodgers, he's got stuff that you could throw down the middle, and his movement is so good that you still can't hit it.
Yeah.
So as long as he gets his control back, I think he's going to be
fine. Listen, we've mentioned it on air, off air, whatever. When he's going to pair that 100-mile-an-hour fastball to the splitter that he throws,
it's unhittable, bro.
When he tunnels those pitches together, you're going to see guys swinging out of their shoes, and the frustrated baseball fan is, what is this guy swinging at? Well, if the way you see that ball break, and what you just saw, when you see that 100 miles an hour, pop,
right.
And it's just, okay, now you see the same pitch with the same trajectory,
and it comes and off then
the bottom completely drops out on you.
You're 100% right.
And that pitch is disgusting. So when he finds it, I think he's going to be totally fine. But, you know, right now it's a little troublesome for him. He's going to have to deal with it. He's going to have to, you know, get himself together. And listen, for the fans and the media out there that are ripping this guy apart for getting emotional in the dugout.
Yeah, for real, I saw some of that. Go. That's crazy. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, leave this guy alone.
He wants to do well.
And he's feeling, he's
feeling
a young kid.
A little bit. Yeah, he's young.
He's a young kid coming over here, and he may be feeling a little bit. Give him time. We know what this kid is and what he's capable of. I mean, this guy threw, what, a perfect game in Japan last season?
Yep.
And almost did it in back-to-back starts. I mean, regardless of what you want to say about the talent in Japan,
I'm pretty sure I think Brian Cashman was at one of those games too. It was like one of the two best games he said he ever saw anyone pitch.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this kid has the stuff. You know, I'm not necessarily worried about him. I don't think Dodger fans are either. But
they're 5-0. He had two bad starts, and they're still 5-0. So right. They'll be fine.
Right, they're going to be fine.
Imagine getting this guy right. Oh my God, forget what that team is capable.
I mean,
of.
I don't know. In five games, maybe they somehow be 7-0.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's insanity. But listen, the Dodgers look exactly what we've expected them to be, and we're all hoping for them to lose, and they're just not doing it. So, you know, what it is on that aspect. But listen, outside of that, guys, out there in the comment section on the podcast itself, the Instagram, the Twitter, Diamond Discussions 25, what have been your biggest takeaways to the whole opening weekend? What you guys have seen so far, what's maybe troubling you, what you're concerned about, what you're excited about, what you've seen that has been good, great, good, bad, and ugly. Whatever it is, we want to know about it so we could all talk about it. But all in all, I'm just happy baseball is back.
Me too, man. It was a great weekend. A little bit of an unexpected weekend with some of the things that happened, obviously, and how we thought things were going to potentially play out for the first three or four games, but it's back, man. It's in the air, and it's baseball season, baby. It's back.
And you know what? This is why you play the game, for the unexpected, the things you think you had it down packed, the things we predicted, the things we said, and now a lot of things we've said on and off air has gone completely sideways, completely different how we expected
exactly.
it. So that's the best part about this game. I love the aspect of getting hit where it's like, oh wow, like I saw this going the complete opposite way.
And then sometimes you're right.
Yeah,
which is it's great to see that.
Yeah,
I was right on this and I was wrong on that, and I didn't think it was going to be right on this, and it's awesome. I just love it.
Right, it is. So listen, speaking about right and wrong, the moment you guys have all been waiting for, the trivia question of the podcast. We are not giving you another Met and Yankee one. We're not going to do that every time. It may come up a lot more than more often than not, but regardless of the fact, we're gonna stray away from it, or maybe not, depending on the answer. I mean, you guys tell us. So again, speaking of right and wrong, out of all the guys that have hit 600 plus home runs in their career, who is the only one to not win the MVP?
Love it.
Not that I was shocked by the answer, but I don't know. Maybe you guys will be.
With the numbers that this guy put up, I'm shocked that he didn't win at least one.
Yeah.
But
very shocking. But I will say again, out of all the guys that are in the 600 plus home run club, who is the only one to not win an MVP? Aside from that, I just want to say also in some down news, we don't want to end the show necessarily on a down note, but we have to bring it up. We didn't in our last episode, and we have to talk about this. Brett Gardner and the unfortunate situation that him and his family are dealing with. They lost their young son of 14 years old.
Yeah, Miller Gardner.
Yeah. I mean, this kid... Joe, you take it away. These are your
guys. They were vacationing in Costa Rica, and supposedly the entire family got sick. I don't know if it's a food poisoning type situation, but or you know whatever the case may be. But he went to sleep and he didn't wake up. Very unfortunate. Bretton was a gamer. The guy was an organization guy. He would do anything for the organization.
Yeah.
Run through walls for the organization and his teammates. And I know his son was a two-sport athlete. He played football and baseball in high school and wore his dad's number 11 in honor of his dad. It's just a shame. 14 years old is too young for anyone. And I hope my prayers and my condolences to the Gardner family. Honestly, it's a devastating loss.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know, obviously, same for me here and just the podcast in general. And obviously, I'm going to say it on behalf of our fans or listeners, whatever you want to call it. Our thoughts, our prayers, and our condolences are with the Gardner family. One thing that I really did take away from the Yankee weekend, when the Yankees roll call opened up, Aaron Judge did the thing that he did sometimes when he played center field, but, you know, he paid
that,
homage.
That Hulk move that Gardner used to do for the roll call.
Yeah,
that
was awesome. Around, yeah.
And they also did it for Miller Gardner, too. They chanted his name before they did the entire roll call, which I thought was awesome.
That was a fantastic job by the Bleacher Creatures from the Yankees. You know, listen, that was a class act. You know, again, we don't want to end the show on a down note, but it was just something that we had to talk about, we had to bring up, because there's more to... More than this podcast, at least, than just baseball. And when moments like this do happen, we have to discuss it. And, you know, we wanted to in the last episode, and it sort of slipped our mind. So, we wanted to make sure that we put that out there. And listen, to all you guys out there listening, listen, like always, we appreciate you. We love you. We love the views. We're seeing them go up. We're seeing the comments, the DMs, the phone calls, the text messages, everything that you guys are doing. We're hearing from some of you that you're excited to hear us. You're excited to hear the podcast.
And that makes us excited.
Yeah, it does. It makes us want to pump out more stuff and put out more content. And honestly, it's a blessing. I never could have imagined that I would get a text message, "Hey, when's the next episode coming out?" That meant the world to me, and I've gotten it multiple times, you as well. You know, listen, so that just encourages us so much, and it makes us feel like we're actually doing this thing right. So, listen, we appreciate you more than you could ever imagine. So guys, listen, a big shout out to you guys, and I'm looking forward to some of the right and wrong answers to our trivia question this week. So
remember, no Google.
Yeah, no Google, please. No Google. But you guys have been doing that because...
some of the answers were a little alarming on some of the questions, so we know you haven't been checking
Google. No, and you know what? I love it. I love that you guys are playing by the rules.
Yeah, because you're responding, and that's what we want. We want responses, and you guys have been nothing but short of phenomenal, so we really appreciate everybody.
Yeah. Guys, listen, again, until next time, thanks for hanging out with us.